send me an email, jeff@jeffpod. No. That's a different show. Send me an email at Jeff. Send me an email. Send me an email at Jeff. Oh, what is it? No, I got it. Sorry, Em. Send me an email at Jeff with a J, JFF@onlyhumanpod.com. Got there. Hello and thank you for downloading Jeff Brazier, Only Human, my brand new straight-talking podcast. Mental health is a big deal to me. I've always been fascinated by human behaviour and consider myself a keen self-developer. To fuel my interest a few years ago, I trained as a life coach, NLP practitioner, and wrote a book that I'm incredibly proud of called The Grief Survival Guide. So I know a thing or two about honest discussion and exploring these subjects in detail. In this podcast, I'm going to talk openly about my most testing life experiences, of which there have been a few, but most of all, I'm going to try and add some value and help with your challenges. This podcast, for anyone who believes they can improve, but realizes that at the end of the day, we're only human. So this week, I popped a question on social media about habits and routines this time. I asked, what are your lockdown routines and any habits that you're trying to lose? Because of this podcast, I've now endeavoured to really walk the walk and talk the talk, if you like. There's no way that you can come on and have a podcast speaking about mental health if you're not practising good mental health yourself. And don't get me wrong, I've always done it. I've always really been that way. But my routine was in no way perfect. And my motivation wasn't necessarily as high as I would have liked it to have been. And the habits that I were in, there's a lot of habits that I spoke about wanting to do and be in, but couldn't quite find my way to. Well, since recording the first podcast, this sense of responsibility and accountability has just sort of engulfed me, if you like. And as a result, all of a sudden, I'd say my morning routine is absolutely first class. So I'm getting up at 5 a.m., which is something that I've done in the past and know is really beneficial. We all use the excuse of, oh yeah, you know, it's hard to get up when it's dark and it's cold and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm not letting those excuses get the better of me at the moment. So I'm then actually going straight into a cold shower. I'm doing a breathing technique. I'm meditating. I'm also reading for 30 minutes. So before 7 or 8 a.m., I'm actually 4 or 5 nil up. And then I go and do a run. It's not necessarily where I want to just leave my exercise for the day, because I like to maybe come back and make sure that I've done an hour. But as far as a start to the day is concerned, I'm so proud of myself this week for being able to do that. And I have to thank you, really, for giving me the real boost that I needed, that sense of, right, I'm, you know, it's almost like I'm wearing the armband here. If I'm going to be recommending ways that people can improve their situations, then I need to live it and breathe it and be able to tell people really how it feels to be able to live like that. So habits, now I've looked into them this week, I think are absolutely fundamental in really deciding or dictating what kind of life experience we're having. I also really need to point out to you guys that I might sound like I'm giving it Johnny Big Bananas because I get up at 5 and I get in a cold shower. Oh, what a top guy Jeff Brazier is. Today I got up at 6:10. All right. I snoozed my alarm a few times. But here's the really important part is instead of being like, oh, well, I've messed up, I'm not going to do it perfectly, so therefore I'm just going to lay in bed till 8. I guess apply a little bit of non-judgment to that, which I think is important for us all to incorporate into our routine and our rhythm. So it's like, right, okay, I need to just adjust slightly. So I did things in a different order. I actually got up, I came to my desk, I did a few bits and bobs just to plan the day. I then sat down and read. Now, here's the thing again, it's like, yeah, I like to read for 30 minutes. Well, this morning I had to adjust. So actually, I read for 10 minutes. I then went out on a run. I did 30 minutes. I didn't do 5K particularly quickly. But again, it doesn't matter. I'm just building up a habit and getting into a feeling and trying to find my bounce. Yeah, non-judgment, being giving yourself permission to mess up or giving yourself permission to not quite hit your targets exactly how you want in the order that you want to. And if you do, you'll find that you'll still manage to maybe get 80% out of your morning, you know, rather than it's 100% or nothing, because that sounds a bit rigid and unkind. And if we're rigid and inflexible, generally we don't particularly get so far. Anyway, less about me and what I do in the mornings, more about you. Emma, what's the first question?
This first question's from Laura. I'm a mum of three. Before COVID, I was a fitness instructor. Every day was different, always on the move. Then that routine changed. I was lucky to get a job with the NHS, and now I'm sat in front of a laptop and then homeschooling. No fitness routine, and I broke the habit of regular training. I'd love that habit back. I know what I need to do, I just haven't got the mindset or the mental strength to commit and do it. I keep putting it off. I should get up earlier and allocate that time for me, but I feel like I'm running on empty at the minute.
Ooh, lots in there, Laura. Thank you very much for your question. I think it'd be remiss of me to pretend that I haven't actually developed this conversation with Laura on Twitter anyway, because as soon as it came in, I just felt I really wanted to help straight away. So what we ended up doing is just firstly encouraging Laura to let go of where you was. A good friend of mine used to say, you have to start where you are. It doesn't matter whether we were an Olympic athlete 10 years ago, but we're not fit now. The truth is, it only matters where you are today. So to almost criticize yourself for not being as fit as you was, even though we've had a global pandemic, is, I think, you know, a bit unkind. So the first thing I said to Laura was about, let's just start where we are. So in terms of getting back on the ladder, if you imagine your habits as being like a ladder, you're completely off of it at the moment, staring at it thinking I should be on it. And that's another thing, the word should, we should ban that, never use it, I should, because it is it's a complete nod to what you used to be able to do, who you used to be. And the truth is, well let's recognize what we've been through lately. Let's recognize the fact that that's not the reality, but we'd like to, I guess, encourage our habits to take us back to a fitness that we once had. So what I also did is I encouraged Laura to be accountable to someone. And actually that someone ended up being me. I said, well, I'm running tomorrow morning at 7:30. Why don't we virtually run together, and afterwards we will share a picture of us out and about, which is, you know, a form of evidence, if you like. But what it added was a layer of why. It gave a reason to get out. Actually, it's like, well, I need to do it because Jeff's going to be doing it. He's going to share a picture, and there's no way I'm going to embarrass myself or let him down by not doing what I said I was going to do. So there's something really powerful about making your intentions known, whether it's to your partner, your family, your friends, whether it's to encourage, you know, somebody else to join you. Again, virtually, I'm not asking anyone to break any rules. That will make the difference between when you're sat there and you're thinking, shall I, shan't I? It will push you towards I will, as opposed to nah. So accountability is massive. And also shrinking the obstacle, because I think Laura said that she used to run 10K regularly in a fairly decent time. And it's like, okay, that's what you used to be able to do. What are you going to aim for today? Bearing in mind you haven't run for a while, you're not as fit. And actually all the first run, the purpose of it is, the first thing we do in pursuit of any of our goals and, you know, wanting to acquire a habit is to start off small. So, all right, you used to be out run 10. Why don't you run 5 today? Let's half it. And why don't you completely let go of any expectation as to what time? Just get round. You know, even if you have to walk for 3 of those kilometers, then that's absolutely fine. Because guess what? It's more than you did yesterday.
This next question's from Mark.
I'm exercising once a day, but then just feel unmotivated at other times. I feel like I should be doing something all of the time, but then I feel like I just want to chill and be lazy. It's annoying.
Yeah, I mean, let me just scan over that again, because it almost sounds like there's an absence of goals, but also there's a recognition that you've got a lot of time on your hands. And in some respects, time is either a gift or a curse, right? I think actually the fact of the matter is that time is the most priceless commodity that we own. So if you've got lots of time, maybe you're not working, maybe you're furloughed, then obviously let's recognize first and foremost that your day is yours to create. So you have a blank canvas. So if you want to relax because maybe you've worked tirelessly for 20 years, then actually, you know, recognize that might be something that's good for you to do. and do it unapologetically, unashamedly, and own that rest and own that time of switching off and powering down. I know I did that for 2 weeks in the first lockdown. I remember it being a bit like, oh, you know, this, it was all a bit of a novelty, wasn't it? And it was like, okay, all right. So a lot of my work is not carrying on. I don't know, I just got on the sofa and just started watching Netflix, which I would never allow myself to do. And there was a novelty in it that I actually quite enjoyed. I think there comes a point where that then becomes a bit leisurely. So now I'm going to, you know, go through the gears a little bit, you know, up the speed and actually start being productive. So I think a lot of people look at productivity as a, right, this is what, when I go to work, I'm being productive and I do what I've got to do. And then when I come home, I stop that productivity because it ends there. I'm purely a self-developer. I take it upon myself to always improve. It's not a drive that comes from a bad place. It comes from an appreciation of life. Like, I think where it comes from, and I'm quite sure about this really, is that my mum was 15 when she had me. Through pure love or ignorance and being stubborn, which is definitely a mum trait, I would say, you know, that's me here. I recognise that. So as a result, I'm not wasting a minute. Of course I waste minutes. We all waste time. But I think that I'm somebody who really appreciates the time that I've got, you know, however long that is. I try and make the most of every day. And that's why habits are perfect for me, because I want my day to be purposeful. I want it to be powerful. There's a lot of P's in there, which is hard when you're speaking into a microphone. So Mark, just be aware that if you want to be leisurely, that you can choose to do that. And that's not a waste of time, because relaxing is as important as, you know, hitting it hard. There needs to be a balance of all things. Do you have a balance? Then if not, then that's obviously what we look at. My advice to you would be to give yourself three things that you're going to achieve tomorrow. And once you've done them, be like, right, great, next day, I'm just going to do four. Again, that's what I would say to Mark. And my views can only really be formed from my experiences in life. I know that everybody sees it completely differently. I'm really, really serious about telling you that this is a community that I'm growing. And I want you also to give your advice to Mark as well. What works for you? What has helped you to get back on the ladder? How have you used accountability to create small habits, but beneficial habits that can be sustained in order to grow, in order to turn things around so that you feel like you're back on track? Send me an email at Jeff with a J, J-E-F-F, at onlyhumanpod.com.
This is a nice question from Clifford. Jeff, you start your day really positive. How do you end your day, and do you have a routine for that also?
Clifford, love that. Great question. I honestly have focused probably more so on my morning routine. However, I've got lots of ideas as to how I'd like to end my day. So I think the worst habit for me, Cliff, is to actually stop working. So to give myself permission to stop working is something that I struggle with. But yeah, I would absolutely say that it is a big consideration to make sure that I stop work at 6 p.m. And then beyond that, I would make dinner with Kate. So we'll eat together. That's for us to come together and say how our day has been and what we've got up to. You know, help each other. That sense of togetherness and pride and teamwork as well, which is important for parents to have, or for a relationship, full stop. And then obviously the boys would come in and we'd all eat dinner together around the table. That is absolutely vital, that we check in and see how they are, what they've been doing, whether there's any adjustments we need to make like the next day. Beyond that as well, the bedtime routine specifically, always reflect. Kate and I'll ask ourselves, we've done this a few times. It's something that's sort of come to my awareness recently, but we just ask ourselves three simple questions. What did we do really well? What are we really proud of today? What could we have done better? And what will we do differently next time? That's four questions, I lied. But yeah, just both giving each other the time and the space to be able to kind of elaborate on those questions is really good. Followed by gratitude, five things that I've been grateful for that day. Followed by breathing. It sounds like a lot, doesn't it? But they're all such small things that just take like a little bit of time. If you're wondering about times, I go to bed at 9:30. In order to try and be asleep around 10, because getting up at 5, if you haven't had 7 hours, is a bit of an ask. The other habit, Cliff, in the evening, you might think this is a bit of a weird one. Or if anyone was to say, Jeff, what's your weirdest habit? I would say creaming myself after a shower. Just looking at Emma's face. Okay, so a lot of women, I think, do this anyway. I've got a lot of friends who cream themselves habitually anyway. But I often forget and I often don't do it. And I'm guessing there's a lot of people out there that don't. But I think that rubbing yourself with a lotion that improves the quality of your skin is a real act of self-love. And to kind of suggest to yourself that you are worth taking the time to feel better and to improve your skin, I think is a real, again, it literally takes a minute. If you add all of those things up that I've just said, like with regards to the bedtime routine, Cliff, honestly, we're talking about 20, 25 minutes at the very most. And it's a lovely way to finish the day. So thank you very much for you sending your questions in. Again, we wouldn't really have a podcast without them. And I hope that you keep them coming. But I'm also going to move on now to the advice that you guys have sent in relation to something that I raised last week, my mini allotment. And I've had so many messages from people saying that you won't regret it. It's going to be the best thing that you've ever done. It's so rewarding. You know, you've got to be patient, though. And I love that. And I do feel inspired. I haven't yet started to educate myself on all things growing vegetables, but I know that there's going to be a countless amount of books and podcasts and YouTube videos that I'll be able to watch that will help me get it right. And even if I don't get it right straight away, that's all part of the process, I guess. But Emma, would you like to read out the first bit of advice?
Okay, your first question about your allotment comes from Vincent. He says, mate, what a wonderful idea. Definitely get something to encourage some wildlife, perhaps some plants to attract bees, big hotels, plants, shrubs to provide perching points too. I think that's supposed to be bug hotels, not big hotels.
A big hotel in my garden, I probably wouldn't have got planning for, to be honest, because I'm struggling to get planning for a potting shed. So, but Vincent, thank you so much for that. And actually, I will be planting a bit of a wildflower meadow. That kind of conjures like illusions of acres and acres of land, and it isn't that. But it's big enough to make it feel like it will be a really beautiful way of inviting in the wildlife, which, you know, is great because it was always going to go there anyway. But the fact that it's going to really benefit my vegetable growing efforts is perfect because it's literally going to be next to it. So, you know, I'm just visualizing in the summertime, the vegetables are growing. I'm, you know, posting on social media, look at the size of my courgettes. And then I've got all the wildlife, the butterflies flying around and the bees pollinating. Do you know what? I just feel like I'm living in an episode of The Good Life, which I am too young to really remember. And if any of you are too young to have a clue what I'm talking about, let me just say, right, it's all about growing your own. It's all about being self-sufficient or as much as possible. So love that.
Another nice bit of advice on your allotment and the stuff you can do with your crops. This comes from Carla. There's something satisfying about cooking with your own veg and herbs. We also have chickens because my boys were getting through so many eggs to get their protein up. Enjoy.
Carla, I'm probably a little bit too chicken to have chickens in the garden, but maybe that idea will grow on me. I do love the idea of fresh eggs, though. It'd be amazing. Yeah, I can't wait to experience the satisfaction of growing my own vegetables and eating them. Do you know what, Carla? You sound like the sort of person I need to ask. And actually, this question goes out to anybody, but there's a bit of space within the mini allotment. I've probably given a little bit too much room to the walkways. Like, the walkways probably didn't need to be a metre wide. They probably could have been half of that, to be honest. So I feel like I've kind of denied myself a bit more space to grow something, as if I haven't got enough already. But what I wanted to ask is, like, about fruit trees in a mini allotment. Can you have them in there? I've heard that you have to have two for pollen. I can't even say it. It's another P word again. I've heard that you need to have two. Is that the truth? Why is that? Can you plant them so that they are literally going to end up growing and hanging over the vegetables that I'm growing? Is that okay? Is there a rule against that? Is there a reason biologically that that shouldn't happen? So please let me know if you've got any advice, not just on my my fruit tree growing, but also anything that we've spoken about so far with regards to habits and routines and the forming of, then please let me know at jeff@onlyhumanpod.com. Do you know what? When I finish recording this, I'm going to take you guys out to my allotment and just have a little talk through of what I've done so far and I think what I need to do in order to consider it done. So I feel a bit like David Bellamy out my allotment, but at the minute it's just a mud bath. It's literally so muddy that the landscapers have had to stop, really. Puddles everywhere. So what I've got is a load of raised beds and designed this myself. And I'm looking at it thinking, you know, there's too much space in and around them. Anyway, I'm being quite technical. I'm sure you're not as interested. I'm listening to the birds sing. I'm imagining it being full of vegetables and it just feeling like the most tranquil, like, and serene and peaceful place that I could be. That's worth the money, right? And yeah, it'd be such a worthwhile investment for myself, my family. Again, like Kate keeps saying, I don't expect me to have any part to play in any of this. I think she'll end up getting sucked in, to be honest. I don't know whether the kids will be bothered whatsoever, but I'll be quite happily out here watering, you know, pruning, doing whatever I've got to do. And I just think it just brings you out into the fresh air, doesn't it? Gets you out of the house. Hopefully we're not locked down for long, but I just see it as being a real lockdown proof idea. To be happy at home is really important, and to add something to your garden that isn't necessarily fashionable. It's no hot tub, it's no sauna. But the truth is that whilst I don't think this area will cost me anywhere near much as those things might have done, the truth is that it is gonna be, I think it's just gonna bring a really beautiful feeling. Yeah, anyway, so look, spoke a lot at length about my mini allotment, but I do love it, and I do hope that it does wonderful things for me and anyone that wants to come and use it with me. I know my mum and aunt will be all over it, and I'm really excited that that will be something that brings them over and something that we can do together. I think that is, it just gives us a real purpose. It gives us things to bond over. We can sit and have a cup of tea in the little potting shed and do exactly that, potter around and you know, spend hours and hours just chatting and being happy in each other's company and doing something nice together. So I think actually the fact that it is going to bring my mum over here is probably one of the biggest motivations for me doing it. I think it's going to be really, really good for us. Yeah, I think it'd be really special. So the main theme of last week's episode, my first one, was motivation. And I received a few words of wisdom via email and social media, which I'd like to share a few of right now.
Here's one from John about how he keeps himself motivated. Try cooking, following a recipe. I like Joe Wicks's new book because it's for healthy eating. But you choose yours.
Yeah, love that. Great recommendation. I've always found cooking to be a really therapeutic act. For some, it's like too much effort at the end of a tough day. But no, I've always enjoyed it. And that is until Kate has completely elbowed me out of my chef role. Chef Jeff, no more, to be fair. I don't mind. I say it like I'm complaining. I'm not. I love this new development that's taken place in my house. So after 7 years of being together, Kate has suddenly decided that she wants to do the cooking. And you know what? I'm not afraid to admit she is actually much better than me. I love what she's making. I love the fact that I don't know if I'm even a sous chef, but I think I'm is it a comm chef? I'm basically the skivvy. So I have to chop and I have to wipe everything down and I have to do all the washing up. But I love that we do it together. I love that she's sort of taken ownership of it. It's a lot, one responsibility less for me. I love that she's cooking for us as a family as well. yeah, John, I'm not going to get anywhere near the stove, if you like, unless she's not here. But yeah, we follow a new recipe every night, and I absolutely agree. Doing something from scratch, where you're like, look at what we built, is a really wonderful thing for couples and families generally to do together.
This last one's from Peter. He's also referencing routines and habits, but this will apply to motivation also. When I wake up, I think about what I'm looking forward to the coming day. So I get up, I do some yoga, followed by Chai Kung breathing, a shower, a hot one, not a cold one, because I'm a coward. I make breakfast for my daughter, read at least 2 pages of my book, I hang washing out. I find this really therapeutic. I sit at my desk and I read my daily affirmations and start my day.
Unbelievable from Pete there. Perfect example, really. What I love, actually, and what he really reminded me there is that he's obviously taken the time to sit and think of the things that he doesn't just have to do, which would be normal for all of us, but that he wants to do and that he gets something from, and in what order. There's so much choice littered in that explanation of his morning routine. So what I'd urge everyone to do off the back of what Peter's just inspired, really, is for you to write a list of all the habits that you've either, you're aware of personally, things that you're already doing, things that you might have heard about on this podcast or on another, and actually just make a list of all of them so that you can see what really is your menu, if you like, what's available to you, what your options are. And then it's completely up to you, your discretion really, as how you might piece them in so that you can get as many of them done. It's also useful, I think, as well, to write down how long these things will take next to them. Because again, we can probably look at something like, oh, that's going to take ages. What Pete also said was brilliant, where he just says, even if it's just 2 pages of my book. So some of us are like, well, I'll only read, but it'll only be worth it if I read for an hour. But that's ridiculous. If we read for 10 minutes, it's better than reading for no minutes. So, you know, you're eventually going to get through that book and you're going to learn what that book had to say, or you're going to enjoy the entertainment of that book, depending on whatever its nature is. So Pete, that's a really great message, because it did evoke so many different areas. But again, let me ask this question as a true coach would. Are you in control of your day? Sounds like Pete is. What can we do in order to help you to control your routine and your habits? There's so many areas, aren't there, of focus when it comes to habits. There's your morning, there's your bedtime, there's your dinner time, there's around the kids, there's your weekends, there's your exercise, there's your, you know, your diet generally. You have to break those areas down and work out what really is best for you. But for me, like, when I really drilled into how habits actually work, it all centers around the action, whatever that is. Let's take exercising as an example. So that 30-minute run that I was talking about doing earlier. And really what needs to happen first is that there is a decision, a choice that you are going to do it. An element of willpower that gets you to do it. However, we can also add accountability to that, and we can definitely make people aware of our intentions. We can partner with people who have similar intentions, which just gives us more reasons why to. We can also then add a layer of reward, so that, you know, that carrot is there. And again, that was relevant for the motivation conversation last week. But if we do our 30-minute run today, regardless of whether it's at this time or so on and so forth, I am going to allow myself a glass of wine in the evening. You know, maybe that's the reward that you would give yourself, or I'm going to let myself have a Kit Kat, whatever. But if there is a reward there, again, it's a reason to. And when you're enjoying that reward, you're like, right, this is how it works. I have to earn this. But, you know, we all respond well to the carrot. Being realistic in your expectations is absolutely massive as well. And again, that's the scalability element. If there's something that you want to do and you're not getting around to it, you're not being realistic in what you're asking of yourself. Downplay it. What can we reduce it to so that today, actually, that run is just a 5-minute walk? And it might seem like there's a big gap between the two, but that represents you getting on the ladder towards being able to run for 30 minutes. So whatever it is that you're putting off, find a really small step that you can take, and that is your day one. And once you've done that, you've achieved. And also, I just want to say, I don't know whether the mic's picking it up, but the Tyler downstairs in the kitchen is playing a little bit of Easy Lover by Phil Collins. And I like that track. And it got me thinking about you can use music to make an insanely boring task much more doable and enjoyable, dare I ask. But so look, here's my recommendations. Phil Collins' Easy Lover is what he's playing down there, which made me think Talking Heads, Once in a Lifetime, The Police, Roxanne, Jimi Hendrix, All Along the Watchtower, The Jam, Tank Called Malice, and Fleetwood Mac Dreams. There's some absolute tunes from that era back in the day when I was growing up. And to be fair, my stepdad had a lot to answer for. Music was one of his strong suits for sure. I thank you for that education. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to the second episode of Only Human Podcast. If by some chance you like what you've heard, then there will be new episodes every Tuesday from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Absolute Radio app, or wherever you get yours. And remember to rate and review the show so I have a little bit of feedback to know whether I'm doing all right or whether I need to roll my sleeves up and do better. You can also get in touch with your questions, concerns, or dilemmas by emailing me direct at jeff@onlyhuman.pod. I've done it again. Jeff@onlyhumanpod.com, and that is Jeff with a J. It was a bit out of order for my nan to name me Jeffrey as a child, but at least she gave me a J and not a G, because that would have been worse.